All right, we're recording. I had a thought this week about democracy. There are a lot of countries that have democracy stuff going on. You know, there's a lot of young democracies out there. Taiwan's a democracy. But they're kind of having trouble. A lot of democracies tend to struggle. Okay, this can be normal. Okay, good, bad, yay, boo. The only democracies that thrive are the democracies that weren't handed to the people. The democracies that people had to struggle and fight for in order to get. I don't know. Hong Kong. That's an interesting democracy type of thing, Hong Kong. It's getting less and less democratic, and Beijing is changing the rules, and they're technically not supposed to, and so England might claim that China's in violation, and so that Hong Kong goes back to being... Like, there is a case for that, if Britain wanted to do that. But the Hong Kongers never really stepped up and sought to take their own freedom. Hong Kong's fate has always just been an argument between China and Britain. And then Hong Kong just has to accept whatever shows up. That's interesting. The democracies that thrive are the democracies that step up on their own and create themselves. The people of a society have to take the initiative from the beginning in order to make their democracy move into being what it is. You can't... Look, democracy kind of failed sort of in Iraq because America went in there and fought for the people. They should have fought for their own liberty. So, you know, the idea of the liberator, you know, see, a conquering invading army goes and attacks other lands and defeats governments on other lands. He views himself as a liberator. I mean, you know, look at China's oppressive army that has murdered thousands, if not millions, of people. They're called the People's Liberation Army. Hitler viewed himself as a kind of liberator. He was there to liberate the people from the evil French government to have his wonderful, kind, gentle Nazi government, the party-based regime. Instead, he views himself as the liberator. Conquerors. Alexander the Great probably saw himself as the liberator. He would go free other people from their stupid government so that his oppression could be the new wonderful thing that they had. So, liberators, yes. Doesn't work. If a country's going to be a democracy, it cannot receive that democracy by having it bestowed upon them, by having it handed to them by some liberator. It doesn't work that way. Can't work. Doesn't work. All right. That was a thought I had this week. Okay, so speaking of that, I'll tell you something. See, I get into this is a reason that I'm not so fond of Christian establishment missionary types being in Taiwan, for example. I don't like the idea of a denomination, of a Sunday morning group, of a formal religious institution going into another place where there already are Christians and trying to set up more Christian groups. There already are Christian groups there. The Apostle Paul said, I will not preach the gospel where it already thrives because I will not build on another man's foundation. So Paul would go visit Christians, but he wouldn't go do missionary work in a place where there already were Christians. He would help those Christians there spread themselves. Okay, so I'm not a fan of missionaries in Taiwan. And frankly, I've said this in my YouTube videos, and I'm getting more and more and more adamant about this. I really don't like religious institutions at all. The Bible never says that you have to have Christian fellowship or Bible study or Bible learning under, quote unquote, the authority of, quote unquote, a government registered religious group. That's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. Jesus' disciples weren't registered with the local Pharisees. Jesus' disciples were not registered with Pontius Pilate. I think Pontius Pilate liked Jesus, which is why he said this is the king of the Jews. I think that was his confession of faith. Pontius Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus. There's actually a church from the New Testament, from the early church, like from the church fathers period. There's a church building named after Saint Pontius Pilate and his wife, Saint Claudia. Like, there's actually a Saint Pontius Pilate in one of the earliest Christian churches ever, just for the record. But as much as I love Pontius Pilate, and as much as Pontius Pilate probably loved Jesus, I mean, Jesus said, look, I got to get crucified, man. I know that you want to save me, but like, I got to get crucified. And so it's the one who brought me to you. He's the one that has the greater sin here. So he's the one that's really in trouble. You're not in trouble over this. And I think that was a great opportunity for Jesus to talk to Pilate. I mean, the Apostle Paul got to talk to Caesar himself. You know how many people in Caesar courts heard the gospel message because the Apostle Paul appealed to Caesar? Jesus got to talk to Pontius Pilate. But as much as Pilate loved Jesus, Jesus did not have his little discipleship school thing and his 12 disciples registered with Pontius Pilate. And I've noticed something. All the fighting, all of the my theology versus your theology, the my church teaches versus your church teaches, all of that stuff trickles down from seminaries where pastors go to school, and it's ingrained into their religious institutions that keep them separate, the denominations. That's where those fights exist. Who are the unifiers among Christians? Who are the people that bring Christians together? You ready? Dun, 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 dun. Who are the people that bring Christians together? Think about it. Dun, 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 dun. Ding! Time's up. The people that bring the Christians together are the music groups, the art performers. Ken Miedema was a guy that'd go around Michigan. He's a blind guy that'd play piano, and he was funny. He'd bring Christians together from all over. Dino Cartzanagas, piano player, loved Jesus. Amazing piano. I met Dino, actually. He'd bring Christians together. Twyla Paris, Christian singer, performer. She came to Moody once. It was just amazing. Her songs were like 10, 20 years old, but she sang them like she wrote them yesterday because they're her songs. Just amazing. I think she played He Is Exalted. She just sat on the piano and just started going. People don't know. Twyla Paris, she moves in the Spirit. She moves in the Holy Spirit powerfully. And she brings Christians together. DC Talk would bring Christians together. Sonic Flood, Newsboys, DeGarmo and Key, Petra, Carmen. These are a lot of the original Christian rock bands before people really knew that there could be such a thing as a Christian rock band, like the people that did Christian rock when there was no such thing as Christian rock. They would bring Christians together. Anyhow, I just been thinking about that. So those are two things. Democracy must be built and taken by the people themselves. And the people that bring Christians together are not the institutions. They're not the seminaries, the people that argue about what they believe. It's the musicians. It's the singers and the musicians that really powerfully unify people. And that was something interesting, the Promise Keepers movement in the 1990s. There was lots of singing and there was lots of preaching. And all those preachers from different denominations who used to argue with each other and read each other's books and argue with each other's books without each other, argue about each other without each other at seminaries, they all got into the same room while everyone's singing together. And they sort of decided they wanted to become friends. Oh boy. Well, okay, two thoughts for the day. See you tomorrow.